Macedonia, I'll ask you to. And he's here today just whipping on that piano like nothing's wrong, but y'all pray for our musician because he lost a family member. And you just don't do that without it bothering you. And might not say it to you often, Brother Derek, but you're in my prayers. And not just today, but especially today, because I just heard this last night. And so you just, and what I'm saying to him, it goes for the rest of us too. Just hold on. Helps on the way. Helps on the way. I'm glad, ushers, y'all can take your seat. I'm glad God does not let me see what's going to come next. Because when, if he would, I would think I was smart. But since I don't know, and he does, I just go and do stuff. Whatever seemed like he's leading me to do. For our subject today, from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Divine repairs. Divine repairs. Every now and then, something will need to be repaired. Doesn't mean you kick it to the curb, but it just needs a little repair. And every now and then, God will repair us. Does God have some repairs for us? And the answer would be yes. Paul wrote to the Romans Christians about the Holy Spirit who helps our infirmities. One of the meaning of the word help has a medical connotation, suggesting the way a nurse helps in the healing process. So it is not simply to take hold on the other side, but that the Holy Spirit becomes our partner and helper who works along with us in mutual preparation for our healing. You have something to do with your healing. And because there's not a one of us in here that if you're born sanctified, saved, and full of the Holy Ghost, when you have not had divine repairs. And God won't let the rest of us see what else is in you that needs, to be repaired. I don't care how holy and sanctified you are, there's still something wrong in your life. You, because none of us are perfect in our walk with God. The Holy Spirit is indeed a divine counselor, a divine psychiatrist, who gets a hold of our problem on the other end, but we are on this end of the process. And just what are you and I supposed to do in this process? Well, that's the purpose of this message. And at this point, I want to suggest that we're going to give you some biblical principles which we must follow in order for you to find healing in your spiritual life. That's what the divine repairs are. It's healing that we need in our life. Point number one. Must face your problems squarely and head on. And you must face it with ruthless moral honesty and with God's grace. Confront that awful hidden sin or childhood memory or whatever the case may be, or however deep the feeling is within you. You must face it head on. You can't come at it from the side or the back. You got to face it square on. Acknowledge it to yourself and acknowledge it at least to one other human being. Some problems can never be solved until we confess them to another person. James chapter 5, and I think it's verse 16, says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And he says, the affectionate, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Some of us miss out on a deep healing because we lack the courage to share deeply with another person. Let me see if I can help you a little bit. God wouldn't place somebody in your life if he didn't have something for them to do to help you become a better Christian. No matter how sorry they may seem to be, or how useless they may seem to be, God placed them in your life to help you to overcome something. So you need to use what you got. If you don't use what you got, why should God give you something else? Some of us are not using what we have. What God have already given us, we have kicked it to the curb. You ought to go back and pick it up. Dust it off. And put it on the shelf and use it. Face your problems, whatever they may be. And every place that I put problem, I want you to put another big word. Spell S-I-N. That's the biggest problem that we have today, is sin in our lives. Point number two. Accept your responsibility in the matter. Accept your responsibility in the matter. But you say, I was sinned against. I was the victim. You don't know what they did to me. You wasn't there. You don't know how bad they hurt me. They didn't do it just one time. They did it several times. And you want me to face my responsibility in the situation? Flat-footed? Straight-eyed? Yes. No matter what they did, you have a responsibility in the situation. Well, I think I said this last week in the message that I preached, that Mom and Dad and them didn't teach me about the things that was in the world, so I went out there and I made a mistake. Yeah, that's the first one. What about the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, and what about all those others? Whose responsibility is that? Amen, lights. Amen, lights and microphones and keyboards. We just need to face our own responsibility and stop. We're good at that. I'm probably better at it than most of you. They didn't tell me all this was going to be in being saved. But you got to know how life is. Life is a complicated journey, and it's woven in a loom. And a loom is one of those things those older people used to use to make quilts and cloth and twine. And the loom is the object that's sitting right there that you go under one and over the other one, under one and over the other. The loom brings the problem to you, but you got to take it back to the other side. No matter what they've done to you, you got to respond to it some kind of way. You can take the lemon and complain about it, or you can get some sugar and some ice and some water and make lemonade. But you have a responsibility in the situation that you're in. I know they did you wrong. They stole all of your money. They messed over you real bad. That's all right, but you still ain't nobody gonna take it for you. The There's some things we'll step in front of you and do for you, but there's some things we're not. You are responsible for that. And you see all of these, everybody coming out of the closet now with everything that somebody else did to them. And they have no responsibility in it. So whatsoever, I'm like I am because what my mama and my daddy did to me. You better get over. You better accept the responsibility that you have in. If I was growing up now, my daddy would probably be in jail for child abuse. It was called a whooping. He would have been there because he abused me according to the standards of today. But I'm so glad that he abused me. I'm happy glad that he abused me. And now looking back, now y'all hear how I said that, looking back, he should have done it again. Looking back, not forward. I didn't want, but I'm saying, as good as those did me that I thought was bad, how much better would have been if he would have given me another one? Accept your responsibility. And most of us can say, my family can say one thing. If you got a whooping, you earned it. You worked for it. So you needed to get paid for the mischief that you've done. And that's the way it is with God. When you walk outside of God, you have a responsibility in it. I know that ain't good. This ain't amen. And this ain't what you come for, but maybe next week. You got to accept your own responsibility. And the action of the loom pusher from the loom, from the problem side and back to it. Everybody have a responsibility in this situation. You are responsible for your own action. So don't make somebody else responsible for it. You will not receive forgiveness for your sin until you stop blaming somebody else. You can't blame somebody else for your sin and get forgiven for it because you have put a crutch under your arm, so you just keep limping along in life. No, take your own responsibility. Forgive the person that you think done you wrong. That's what God did for you. I know you've been whole all your life, but there's something he had to forgive you for. And you just kept right on. You have to accept your responsibility. Point number three. Ask yourself a question. The question is, if I want to be healed, if I want forgiveness, this is what Jesus asked the sick man who had lain ill for 38 years in John 5 and 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" Do you really want to be healed? Or do you just want to talk about your problem? And do you just want it for a crutch so that you can walk with a limp all your life? The lame man said to Jesus, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am come, another step down before me." He would not look deep within himself and in his heart and find out whether he really wanted to be healed. Jesus asked him if he wanted to be healed. He's telling Jesus about somebody else. Does that sound familiar to you? You go to see about one thing about yourself, and then when you get there, you're going to talk about what somebody else have done to you. No, that's not important. Don't come to me to talk to me about your problem and then bring up somebody else. Because what I'm going to tell you is wait. I'm going to look in my Rolodex and see if I have their phone number. And if I do, I'm going to call them and tell them you need to be here because we need to talk about you. You got the problem. The person you're talking about do not have the problem. You got the problem because you haven't forgiven them. Don't keep talking about somebody else. Well, he did me wrong. I'm not talking about him. I'm not concerned with him. I'm concerned with you. That's the way Jesus is. He don't talk to you about nobody else. You coming to him for forgiveness, and you got to really want. You have to have a desire and a yearning for it. If you don't desire and yearn for it, you will not get it because you'll stop pursuing it. If it just fall on you like rain, you'll take it. But if you got to, listen, forgiveness and forgiven, you have to do your part. You're not responsible for me forgiving you. You are responsible for you forgiving me. You're not responsible for that. But what we need, we're too concerned about how the other person feels. You can't make nobody feel any different about you. They'll fake that thing all for 16 or 17 years. They'll fake it. Well, he won't know no better. She won't know no better. I just act like I've just been acting all the time. That's the way we do when we come to church. We fake it a long time. We fake serving God. And God is sitting up there looking at you all the time. But one of these days, you'll get real with yourself. And you'll come crying. And everybody will look at you and say, well, he or she, they done that before, but they don't know this time. This time is real. You want forgiveness because you have been in your closet. I guess what I'm trying to do here today is go around something to get to something. I've been preaching to you for the last 6 or 7 months on praying. And all I'm trying to do now is tell you that you got to pray. You got to stay there and you got to pray and you got to have a conversation with God where you got to empty yourself. If you want the divine repair, you have to talk to him and you have to pray to him and you have to seek him. Well, facing responsibility and forgiving is almost the same action. Some instances you need to do them both at the same time. Jesus made it very plain that no healing occurs until there is deep forgiveness. You have to get off the surface of forgiveness. And you have to forget about yourself. And you have to think about that person that hurt you so bad. And you have to forgive them no matter what they have done. That's the way Jesus did you and me. He looked at us and we had sinned against a true and a living God. And the old preacher would say, he said in heaven, give me a body and I'll go down and I'll die for him and so he can be back in fellowship with us. See, that's what Jesus saw. He looked past the surface of forgiveness. He looked deep within inside of himself and said, man need to be in fellowship with God. I will take the responsibility. I will be responsible for man coming back to God. You just got to accept the responsibility of forgiving somebody who have wronged you. Well, I would come to Sunday school, but they got the wrong person teaching. I would come to Sunday school, but Brother Joe Blow talks all the time. I would come and get in the choir, but the musician them play too loud and they won't let me sing my song. I would do this and I would do that. If no, I don't care what they do. If God gifted me, then I need to do what I do to the glory of God. And my gift will make room for me. If I can sing and you don't like it, God will make room for me. Some of you might have to die, but God will make room for me. My gift will make the room for me. But we want to blame somebody else instead of looking in the mirror. What's that? Too close to see? You got to look at it. It's me, oh Lord. Me, not somebody else. We look at outside too much for answers. You need to look inside. I said this a lot. If there get to be a problem between the two of us, I'm not going to look at him. I'm going to look at me. Because I can't do anything about him. I can do something about me. I look at him because I don't want to do anything. And so then I can blame him. I know why I'm preaching this now. I'm preaching to me. Y'all ain't got to say amen. I've already said it. God is an awesome God. Don't give somebody else the right to deny you of a blessing that God already have for you. Got your name on it, but you got to serve him. Point number four. Okay, all right. I thought I just said that was four, the one I just got through talking to you about. That was four. I'm looking at the paper. Y'all, I got about 12. Y'all want me to go back? Especially this group up here, that back row. They were... Maurice on the back row, sir. Maurice, they knew I was going to pick on you, sir. Point number five. You have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. So many Christians say, yes, I know that God have forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. That statement is a contradiction in terms. How can you really believe that God have forgiven you and you will not forgive yourself? You lying to somebody. You lying to yourself or you lying to God? I don't know which one I want to believe. But it's not true, because if God will forgive you, you ought to. You just ought to forgive yourself. If I don't forgive myself, what do you think I've done to you? You neither. Because if I won't forgive myself, I'm not going to find enough God in me to forgive you. I do believe, me, I can't speak for none of the rest of you, it's easier for me to forgive me than it is to forgive you. So now if I haven't forgiven myself, guess what? You need them. No, because I love me more than I love you. And that's just, and y'all can look at me funny and laugh if you want to. You the same way. You the same way. You love yourself more than you love me. If you won't forgive yourself, I ought to have enough sense to know that you won't forgive me either. So you got to, it has to start within me. I need to forgive myself, get up off of myself, and believe that God can and will forgive me. And then it will be easier for me to forgive you. That is why I'm not going to let nobody stop me from getting my blessings. You can do all you want. I care, but I really don't care. But because I'm not going to give you the right or the authority to deny me the blessing that God got for me. And you ought to stand flat-footed and look at me and tell me the same thing. So therefore, you have to forgive me and I have to forgive you, and God will forgive us all. And can I just tell you, unless God might do y'all different than he does me. He have not called me up and told me, yeah, I've forgiven Deacon Westbrook. He didn't call me up and tell me that. Huh. And I'm pretty sure he didn't call Deacon Westbrook up and tell him he forgiven me. You have to live so close to God that you know, 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 that God have forgiven you. And I have forgiven Deacon Westbrook. And if he have not forgiven me, that's his problem. That's his problem. We have to, and this might not sound too Christian. You have to make sure of yourself before you can try to help somebody else. So many times we try to help everybody else and we're out there ourselves. You need to get in yourself. How can you get somebody else in out of the rain when you're standing out there in the rain? That joker getting wet himself. Why he gonna tell me to get out of the rain? If it's good enough for him to stay out there, it's good enough for me. No, you get out of the rain and then you can help them get out. Okay. Okay, we still on number 5. I haven't moved to number 6 yet. Y'all just hold on. God takes our sin and buries them in the sea of forgetfulness. He buries them in a sea of forgetfulness, and it's in a sea, and there's a great big old sign up in front of it. No fishing. But now what do? We break the law. The sign is up there in big blood red letters, no fishing. We go and we fish in the sea of forgetfulness, that God have forgotten our sin, and we go in there and fish for them, trying to catch them so we can bring them back. You don't want God to take it away from you. Go back up to one of those other points. You want to keep it so you have something to complain about. Won't try to get any better. Be sick all the time. And well, health is anything you've ever seen. And all the time, yeah, I'm so sick. Yeah, you sick because you want to be sick. You want to keep your problems so you can keep them. You have something to complain about. God took your sin and cast it in the sea where he's going to forget it, and you go there to bring them out. That don't make no sense. You wanted him to take it away and he took it. Now you going to go get some bait and fish for it, trying to catch it. Somebody said that if all of us took all of our problems and put them in a pile, then you could get any problem you want. You go stay and steal after you see everybody else's and get your own. I guess that's why we go and fish in the sea of forgetfulness, because we see all those other problems out there and ours look so much better than others. So this, I'm telling you too right here, stop complaining about in the condition you're in. There's somebody else in a worse condition than you are. And you sitting around complaining about yours. Be glad yours are no worse than what it is. And don't y'all tell them people I said this right here. I listen to some pastors talk about their congregation. And when they get talking about their congregation, they talk about this, I do just like this right here. And just walk around. Because I say, Mr. Allen, they ain't that bad. When I listen to them, the people ain't that bad, but that's what they say. So they are. And if I keep telling y'all how good you are, guess what? You're going to be that good. Y'all can try to fool me if you want to. I'm not just talking to these up here. I'm talking to all of you. Don't y'all think because I'm saying it because they're closer to me. If y'all were that close to me, I'd be looking at you. But my thing is that we need to once God have forgiven us, We need to forgive ourselves and walk away from it. Walk away from it. Somebody was talking to me the other day, and I was talking about my health situation, and they thought that I said I was still taking the medicine for diabetes. And I hur up and corrected them. I hur up. I said, no. They heard me say I take every day. I was talking about I take my blood sugar every day. They thought I was talking about I take the medicine. No, I don't want nobody to ever think that right now. Because then I might want to fish and bring it back. Because so you can get sympathy from people when you're sick. I don't want it. I don't want it. Don't need it. But my point is that when we know something, when somebody said something about you, about, no, if it's not true, just say, hurry up and tell them. No. I thought I saw you at the club. No. You didn't see me at the club. No, because I wasn't there. You got to hurry up. Whoever you are, if I see you, I'm going to tell it. So you don't have to worry about me. If I see you, I'm going to tell it. Because if you see me, guess what you're going to do? All right, so I'm going to treat you just like you treat me. I'm going to tell it. So you know I'm going to tell it. Point number 6. All right, y'all stop. Y'all getting out of order. If you want divine repair, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what your real problem is and how you need to pray. Paul said that often we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit in and through us and makes us intercessors for us and makes intercessions for us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit used a temporary assistance in the form of a human counselor who can help us perceive what the real problem is. That's why I said earlier that you need to find somebody that you can confide in, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can empty yourself to, and you won't have to worry about it going someplace else. You need to find somebody that you can talk to. You need to have a person that you could always go to. And listen to me, you need to have your friends need to be like a chain that have different links in it. You have different people for different things. I have some friends that are my links to the business world. I have some friends that are my link to someplace else. I have some friends that are not even saved, and they help me with other stuff. God placed them in my life. God does not take any links out of the chain in your chain of friendships. You need to have people that can do different things for you, and God will place them in your life. The Holy Spirit will let you know the people that you need to talk to. There's some people that think they can help you. You don't need to talk to them. You don't need to confide in them. Everybody that come to me that want me to confide in them, I just flat do not. I try not to hurt their feelings, but I won't confide in them. God has shown me that there's some people, and doesn't mean they're not saved. You don't need to confide in them because they don't mean you any good. They're out to not necessarily out to do you harm, but they don't mean you any good. They won't advance the kingdom of Jesus the Christ. They come to you for different reasons. You have to have a spirit of discernment. You have to talk to the Holy Ghost, and you have to ask him, what do I need to do? And you need to do more than talk to God. Sometimes you need to listen to God. If you can't hear him, that means he's not talking, or either that you are talking too much. You trying to talk at the same same time that he's talking. Sometimes you can hear him when you close your mouth. He'll talk to you. He'll use somebody else to say exactly what you need to hear. You just need to stay on your knees and talk with God. You need to become an intercessor. You need to become your own intercessor. You need to intercede for yourself, and you need to intercede for somebody else. And sometimes when you don't even know you're interceding, you are, because you just become so used to it. Jesus was your intercessor in John chapter 17. He prayed for me, and that's why I know I need to pray for somebody else that I might not know who they are, but I still need to talk to God for them, because they are children of God. You need to stay on your knees and talk to God, and you can get divine repair. That's all the Ten Commandments was for the children of Israel. It was a divine repair. God was trying to repair the damage that had been done to them when they was in the land of Egypt in slavery. Yes, they stayed there for 400 years. For another so long, Jesus didn't come, but he held them until the end. I thought about they made some stuff that they said you could take and put it on a water hose and it will stop the leak, but you had to put it on and let it set for a while and it would heal. It would stop it from leaking. That's what the Ten Commandments did for us. But then Jesus came and he fixed everything. He made it all right. See, you got to be a child of God. Every now and then you may get a short in an extension cord, and then what you got to do is get some electrical tape and tape around it. If you don't cut it back, if you let the naked wire stay there, it might short out or it might shock you. But if you get the electrical tape and tape over it, that will suffice for a while. That's what divine repair is. God repairs us divinely. He forgives us of our sin and makes us whole again. But you got to trust him. If you don't trust him, he will not do it. You got to look at him and say, God, here I stand. Nobody else can forgive me of my sin, but will you forgive me of my sins? And when you ask him, when you give it to him, he will supply just what you need. Stop blaming other people for the situation that you're in. Just trust in God and lean and depend on him. And I promise you that God will stop to see about you. He'll make everything all right, even when it seems like that it's not right. God will stop to see about you. Divine repair. God's trying to repair his people. That's why he's staying gone so long. I wish he would have come yesterday, because I'm ready to go when he called me. But it's in his time and it's in his hand. God will repair you. Well, I didn't number this one, but this would be number 7, and I'll tell you a story. Most of us know who Henry Ford is. Man that's given credit for making the T-Model 4. Then there was a man named Charles Steinmetz. Steinmetz, according to the books, were a dwarf. The book said, and I'm not going to say the word they use, I'm going to just say he was unpleasant to look at. And he was deformed. But he had one of the greatest minds in the field of electricity. It was him. He had a mind so great that he made one of the first great generators. And Henry Ford bought that generator to put in the plant that he had in Dearborn, Michigan. It was that generator was, those generators was operating that whole plant. Steinmetz sold them to him. The generators worked, and they worked, and they worked, and after a while, a couple of them broke down. Henry Ford called electricians all over Dearborn, Michigan. They would come and look at it, but they couldn't fix it. He sent and got the man that made them. Brought them there, and he walked around, looked. The little dwarf man, unpleasant to look at, just walked around, looked, and flipped switches and flipped switches and flipped switches. And after a while, he walked over to the main fuse box and flipped the switch. All the generators started working. Henry Ford sent him back home, and got home. He sent Henry Ford the bill. Didn't stay there but 2 or 3 hours. Sent Henry Ford a bill. The bill ran total $10,000. Henry Ford said, he got to be crazy. I said, I'm not paying him that much. So all he did was tinker and flip switches. Said, for $10,000 for several hours, I'm not going to pay him. Henry Ford wrote a little note in there and sent it back to him. He took the bill. He said, and sent it back to Henry Ford. $10 for tinkering and flipping switches. $9,990 for what I know. Total $10,000. He sent the bill back to Henry Ford. Henry Ford looked at the bill and told the business office, write him a check. So see, it depends on how you look at stuff. If you look at it through the eyes of the maker, it'll be all right. But if you got to stand over here and look at me, no, it's not going to work. God wants to repair you, but you have to allow him the opportunity. And don't ever get to the place where you think that you cannot be repaired. I don't care the worst sin in the world. I do believe if Judas would have asked Jesus the Christ to forgive him, I believe Jesus would have forgiven him. But he didn't ask. He asked the high priest. The high priest can't forgive him for sinning. So no matter what condition you're in, if you want to be repaired, go to the divine repair shop. And that's Jesus the Christ. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time.